The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
What we're doing on temptations, okay, trials and temptations and all. And I already laid some foundations for us and on that's last week. Now, I tried to show us what temptation is and what it is not. And we tried to explain, we laid some, so let me just mention some things we looked at on that very day. And we established that temptation is not from God. That was one major thing that we took home last week. Temptation is not, can never, and has never been a doing of God. God has never authored temptation. And not now, not even in the Old Testament, not even in the days of Job. I say this now. He has never authored temptation. You know, and I try to explain to us that when people ask questions about Job, you have to learn that Job, God did not tempt Job. This sound is this somehow. God did not tempt Job. He never did. What really happened was, the devil told God, if you give me an opportunity, I'll tempt this guy. And God, I will never say don't tempt. The only thing he promised is that he will give us a way of escape. Are you seeing this now? So he allowed that. Okay? So God allows temptation and provides the way of escape. And one question people normally ask is the issue of Matthew chapter 4, where the Bible said that the devil led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then he makes it to look like the devil led the Spirit led Jesus. That's my fault. That Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. So people normally ask, if you say God doesn't tempt anybody, how come the Spirit led Jesus to be tempted? You just need to learn how to interpret the Bible correctly. That verse is not in any way implying that the Spirit led Jesus and said, okay, come, I'm going to go tempt you. No, God doesn't do such things. The Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness and then he was tempted of the devil. Are you getting the point now? I don't have time to explain all that today. He led Jesus into the wilderness, and Jesus in the wilderness was tempted of the devil. So the temptation was not a doing of God. Notice something. When did the temptation of Jesus come in the wilderness? Huh? After the 40 days. Is that correct? So it couldn't have been, temptation couldn't have been the reason why he was led to the wilderness. No. He went there to pray. He went there to fast. Temptation now came. I see what I'm saying now. And we tried to explain that when we looked at Matthew chapter 6. When Jesus prayed. Oh, bring it down. He told them, say, lead us not into temptation. But he told them to pray. He said, a bit high. Bring it down again. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. And I showed you that rendering of that place in the Greek is actually, you do not lead us into temptation. It's not actually a prayer. It's a statement of fact. Remember I saw that last week. This morning he says, God does not lead in temptation. If Jesus was asking us to pray that God don't lead us in temptation, and he knows that God cannot lead us in temptation, that prayer is a useless prayer. I get the point. I get what I'm saying. He says, how do you know that God cannot lead us in temptation? The Bible tells us, James chapter 1 verse 13, that was our anchor scripture. He said, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Why? For God tempts no man. Neither can he be tempted. God does not tempt anybody. And so the idea that God is testing me, and that's why he sends this and whatever my way, is wrong. It's wrong. It's the devil telling you those things. If I'm going to tell you this, you know, I asked the question last week, what is trial, what is temptation, and all that, and they all laughed over it. I'm going to tell you this. If you find any evil in your life, resist the devil. Don't accept it as God testing you or tempting you. No. He doesn't do that. So temptation. So we try to see what is the source of temptation. We answered last week. What source of temptation? Huh? You. Remember that? Your desire. So actually we can say yes, Satan tempts people. But then temptation comes from you. And I told you, temptation, it's your desire that will bring temptation. That's why we established, if you are not exposed to anything, you cannot be tempted by that thing. You remember that? I gave you an example. If you're not if you don't desire anything, you cannot be tempted by that thing. Like we gave the example last week. You say, how many of you like beans? And some people will say, I don't like beans. And we saw that it would be quite almost impossible for you to be tempted to steal beans. Why? You don't like it. And because you don't like it, it will be very difficult to be tempted to steal it. And so that's temptation for you. Okay, so it comes from us. And so we try to see the cycle or the... Okay, we try to see the cycle of temptation. The Bible said, every man is tempted by his own lust. By his own lust. So there has to be a lust. I told you last week, if any time you get lust, what comes to your mind is sexual immorality. Lust is just desire. Every man is tempted by a desire. There must be a desire born in you. And I said last week, at that point of desire, it's not anything bad. It's just a desire. I want to eat. It's a desire. You know, I want to eat is a desire, right? I want to eat. At that point. That point, there's nothing wrong. You just want to eat. I want to eat. And the Bible tells us, you see, so that desire, Bible said, that lust, when it has fulfilled, what will they produce? Let's go to James 1 verse 13 quickly. Let's go to refresh your mind on all these things. James 1 verse 13, let no man say, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot, okay? For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he what? Any man. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. He said, the Bible said, then when lust has conceived, so at the point of lust, there's a problem. But the point is, people allow lust to conceive. And we saw that word conceive is the Greek word sulalaban. It means to cease. When lust has ceased you, what will it be now bring for sin? So at the point of lust, it's no problem. And that's why we have to define lust. I think we should define this problem. Can't even hear myself. Can you hear me? That's not what you give it the volume. Amen. That is better. I like it. Okay. You see, when lust, I think this is better. Right? When lust has conceived, what happens if you put same. And so what happens? Desire takes over. So the problem is that if you at a point, we can all have desires. What happens is, are we going to allow the desire to take over us? And if we're careless enough to allow the desire to take over us, what's going to happen? Well, then it will produce sin. Get a point? And it produces sin. And sin, we saw last week, when sin finishes its course, is death. And we explained last week that death is not physical death. That death is not spiritual death, not any of them. Because one, we have seen that sin cannot produce spiritual death for a believer. Remember for that last week? Why? Because the believer is saved from life. That was in James 5:24 that we have passed from death into life. And so we try to study to see the context of death in the book of James. And we saw that when we have talked about death, it's not in the book of James. It actually talks about corruption, it talks about decay, it talks about. So we saw that actually when death, when sin conceives, it produces death. The death is going to produce more and more and more sin. So we saw that when one temptation comes and you fall for it and you allow that sin to finish its course, what is it going to produce? God has it. And before you know, you become weak. I told you the purpose of the devil is what Jesus told Peter. He said, Peter, Satan has planned what? To sift you like wheat. He has not paid for you. So I told you that last week. Notice something. Was Peter tempted? Huh? Did he fall for the temptation? Was he sifted like wheat? No.
What happened? So you notice Peter truncated the process, but very difficult process. After the sin, if he had allowed it to finish its course, the guy would have been chaff. And I don't believe that I just like chaff all over the place. They've been sipping like Peter, not anything again. I'm not productive because they've allowed sin to finish its course. I told you guys the problem. You know, I was asking last week, but I used to ask myself those things. Why does the devil derive the intention of sin? Whereas he knows that we are eternally sin. And even if we still come to hell, are you going to get point? Amen. I get the point. I didn't say you should go ahead and sin. I only said we know that even if we make a mistake, it doesn't cancel out our salvation. If sin cancels salvation, Jesus died for us. Remember I said that. If sin cancels salvation, Jesus died in useless. A very useless. Because someone was asking on Facebook earlier today, he said, why would the angels in heaven be rejoicing over someone that is saved with salvation he will lose in the next 20 minutes? Make sense? Why they rejoice? They rejoice because they know an eternal work has been done. I don't get the point. Hebrews 7 verse 25. He says he's able to save them to the uttermost. He's able to save them completely. Those that come to God through him. See, this is whatever to make you correct. So salvation was only received in Christ. Happy. Life we have in Christ is an eternal life. I get the point. The spirit at work in us is an eternal spirit. The forgiveness of Christ is a complete forgiveness. Go down. So the question is, if you are confused about what I just said now, I think you just respect other things. Okay? If you are saying, argue whether salvation is eternal or not, I think there is only one problem. You must study your Bible very well. But if you study your Bible very well, you should be aware, complete, that there is no way Jesus can give us something that we can lose tomorrow. In fact, what they had in the Old Testament is a temporary thing. That's why after this priest got his sacrifice today, next week they have to come and do it again. But Jesus made Jesus sacrifice once and for all. Once and for all. Are you still here? Okay, now, so you know this something. So why would Satan tempt us? Why would he make us sin? Knowing that even if we sin, it doesn't change anything. But actually, does it not change anything? It changes something. It doesn't change something before God. Sin has its consequences. I hope you know that. I hope you know. For the unbeliever, being a sinner is spiritual death. But the believer, being a sinner, has a lot of consequences. Just that consequence does not relate to God. God will not reject you. But I can give one consequence. You are going to live against who you truly are. You get the point? You're going to live against your nature is righteous and good. But when you begin to live in sin, you find that another consequence of sin is that when you are living in sin among people, you will find out that they will not see Christ in you. You know what I'm saying? Without holiness, no eye shall see God. So without holiness, men cannot see God in you. They can't see God expressed in your life. You can't even, that's why there, guys, when you see, you're eternally saved. Everybody knows that. Only one person does not know. The unbelievers around you. They don't know you're eternally saved. And so, for they need to see, that's why you notice, wherever the Bible talks about conduct, you will see men. Let your light so shine. Where? For men. And so that's why we cannot afford to be careless after living in sin. We can't. You notice also that Jesus, so what other consequence does sin have? I'm telling you. Sin has a way, that's the thing we're talking about. As a way, when you continue in sin, before you know, you think of things happening to you. Before you know, you lose every strength to even become effective for God. That's what Satan wants. It doesn't mean God has rejected you. What is happening? Jesus will keep killing everything inside. What you do, you cannot even make any move. And that's why you don't allow yourself to be sin, because that's not what I told you last week. As when you see a believer living in sin, I like you to see a man, a baby, a child, a full-grown man behaving like a dog, barking like a dog. That sin for you is degrading. I can tell you what, it's degrading to live in sin. But that was not considered as a reality. So, why does the devil want us to live in sin? After the sin, you don't seem to like it. Before you know, you become ineffective in everything about you. You become very ineffective. So, you know, you don't think, the aim of the devil is what he did to Judas. Judas just betrayed Jesus. That wasn't what them wanted. But how many of you know Jesus? Judas has betrayed Jesus and come back and become one of the apostles. I hope you know that.
as you go before miracle. So what said that water was beyond him betraying Jesus. So he went to say, kept talking to me, it's mine, not this. The sin will kill his horse. And the guy killed himself. I get what I'm saying. That's what he wants. That's why you notice when the devil tempts you to lie, the lie is not the easy purpose. Before you know it, the lie will produce more lies. You know you need a lie. Actually, you need more than one lie to cover up one. I don't know that. You need more than one lie to cover up one lie. You keep lying, you keep sinning, you keep saying that are not true. Hallelujah. Come on, praise God. Okay, so we saw all that last week, and that we saw most importantly last week, that in the midst of all these things, God has something he does. He provides a way of escape. He provides a way of escape for us. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, but I'm saying he will make the way of escape. And I'm starting from there. One of the things you can do in locating the way that God has provided for you, one of the things that God has made, that one of the things you can do rather, is that if you are going to live above sin and not suffer with temptation, you must learn to locate the process of temptation. That is a process. Now the process is there is lust, desire. Okay? But before we get to lust, there has to be an external influence. Remember I said this last week. Before there is lust, before you can desire something, you have to be exposed to that thing. You get the point? So there has to be an external influence. That external influence will produce a desire. That desire will produce sin. Okay? But let me put it, so that desire will produce temptation. Whatever. Temptation will produce sin. Okay? Now after that sin, that sin will produce death. And so, at whatever point you find yourself now, you must learn. For instance, I'm going to start from somewhere. One of the things you must do is to, you can do is to control that external influence. If you are not influenced externally over something, you may not be able to, you will not even think about it. It's not a temptation to you. I don't think you can be. There are some of you that have never been tempted to do some things in your life. You don't even know it exists. I am not taking sense to me. If you do, if that's why one of the things I advise you to do is watch the influences around your life. That's what I'm going to say. One of the ways to not even get into temptation at all, or to minimize the number of times you get tempted in a day, is to control what you watch and what you hear. Control what you see, control what goes into your mind. I mean, you guys work on this. Okay, now one of the things you must control what you hear, what you see. There are actually, I normally say there are three gates to your mind. Gate number one is your mind, number two is your ear, the third one is your brain, your skin. These three gates get into your mind. These are the three things that can influence that because that's the process. Give an example. You don't want to be tempted over sexual sin. One of the things you must watch are the things you expose your eyes and your ears. And that's the problem sometimes you're watching some kind of movies. That's when you watch some kind of movies and listen to some kind of things. There are songs that once you keep exposing yourself to that, at that point, only something, at that point, because that's when you get it wrong in teaching all these things. At that point, you may not say you have sinned. Okay? But what I did, you are laying the foundation for yourself. I didn't get the point. You are exposing yourself. You are creating an unholy or righteous desire in your inside. At that point, nothing is wrong. But you are creating a desire. That's why, as believers, there are blessings you don't go to. There are things you don't listen to. There are people you don't talk to. There are friends you don't keep. Not because when you keep them, you will be in the sin to keep them. No, but because once you keep them around, they will keep placing that desire in your inside. So one of the things to do about temptation is you can cut it short, cut it off before it even starts. That's what I'm saying. You can stop it before it starts. How do you do that? That desire. That is that external influence. Kill that influence. So I said, my daughter, control or watch against another place. Watch what who you keep around, watch what you hear. This will influence what you desire. It will create a desire in you. You see, I'm going to say this, maybe, but not, I don't know. That's why you find out that it's not always good, even for a pastor, to be in church all the time and he's talking about sin, 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 and sin. Because once you give people some things, they are getting aware. I think you're the point. They are becoming more aware of it. And no matter how you look at it, once it gives anything their mind, somehow. That's why we normally say, what to live above sin, be in church with it, then you are righteous, you are good. Once you keep hearing that, it will create a righteous desire in your inside. I get what I'm about. That's why you must watch. That's why I said one of the best things, if you want to live up, you must tell me, so I want to talk smoke. One of the very first things you must do to live up, you have been a smoker or something, you are whatever. You must, if you have friends who do those things with you, give them off. If you have friends who drink with you or something, give them off. Because once that, they don't have to tell you to drink, they will not be drinking. I have a friend there, a friend, well, I got him sick. That was my first name. And he was addicted to drink, alcohol, and all that. So I got him sick. So he was trying to break out from that. You know, what you have to understand is the fact that you are born again does not mean all things are passed away, all things have become you. Even if there is that has happened in man, it doesn't mean they will drop out of you immediately. There are things you have to deliberately cut off from your life. I get the point. And for him to break it. This guy began to work on it. So he was doing it. I told him, give up. One of the things you do is give up some of these places. So one day they were having a party in the lodge, and then he decided to go to the party. Harmless party, you know, all these kind of this is a bad thing. You know, the kind of harmless party. But when I wasn't in the night, it was in the day. So I told him not to go. He said, what is this? You know, party. I said, you don't understand. He says, sir, don't worry. I will go. I'll be fine. He said, I'll surprise you. Then I said, how do you get to don't cost me? Yeah, let me see what it is. So he went there, he requested for whatever. He requested for more. You know, he was asking for more. Maybe he's more. And so they were like, now what is this? I said, why did you not drink more? I'm not going to drink anymore. And so they told him it's a lie. Your head of the career. He said, he didn't laugh, so they don't worry. Then because of the argument, some girls there were requesting for strong stocks. And the girls joined their mouth and said, see that, wow, he said, for my wife, they drink pot, man. The girls said, the girls are used to drinking it, but they say it's a lie. You cannot carry it. He got an, maybe I cannot carry it. Say it. Hey, we don't know you. They kept talking. They kept talking until he said, okay, give me one. I will shock people today. He drank, actually, he drank to a point. When I met him in his room, he was lying lifeless. He had thrown up, and you know that kind of talent of drinking. But he was trying to prove a point. And what happened? He shouldn't have gone there in the first place. Let me get a point. You should know that. There are influences you don't keep around you. When I was talking with you last week, guys, there are friends you don't keep. All these guys that will call you and ask you, what are you wearing at night? What are you doing with it? What are you going to hear? They say, how are you? They're fine. How are you doing this night? They cook. They say, yes. What did you eat in the day? I ate rice. Have you had your bath for the night? Yes. The money is good. So what are you wearing now? He said, give me a job. He said, tell me. Next time they say, what are you wearing? I'm clothed in righteousness and holiness. But what are you wearing? The armor of God, the full armor of God. You get the point? Now, once you keep entertaining those things, at that point, when you're just having an innocent conversation, it's suggesting things to your mind. You get the point? It's bringing at that point. So you can decide to call off the patient from that spot before the influence even comes. So you have to be careful. Even though I normally say, you cannot necessarily, you cannot totally cut off all negative influences around you. You can't. Because even if you think, shift all your friends away. Do not stop from seeing that boy and that guy and that girl, you know, on the road. You get the point, you know? Things just happen all over the place. Praise God. It's not stopping from saying some things. It's not stopping from seeing, from hearing things. You're on Facebook, sometimes you're on Facebook and all that. It's not stopping. But as much as we can, you can control 50% of what goes into your head, what you see. There was one man that walked almost in faith. I'm talking about the little man. One thing is that man walked so much in faith. He read more of that book for the Bible. One of the blows he was what happened was he cannot put the Bible in the Bible. He said, those things propagate here and now. So he said, one day when Lexandra was younger, he went to the speaker for God. He was coming in the newspaper. They said, you open the door. He said, what's that in your hand? The newspaper. He said, throw it outside, boy. He said, cannot stay in here. You know, in journalism, bad news is good news, don't you know? Bad news is good news. He said, here that we had a meeting here and 5,000 people got saved. It's a normal thing. But right here, there was a stampede. 3 people died, they were carried. And so, what if we check? So, we don't support so much in faith, but said, I don't want to see all those things. You don't see them. That don't tell you, watch those things that come around your life. That's why every movie in the market is not for you to watch. Every movie is not for you. And you have to consciously. Let me give an example. Many of you are so scared of satanic power. They are so jabs. You know why? The Nigerian movies you watch when you are growing up. You watch Pesheto Soko and Chimatalago. You don't know those things that it is affecting you today. What gave you the impression that when you go to the village? I'm not saying those things are not true. But why is it all in your mind? You watch those things. And that's the same thing about television. That I hear in your mind. That building up your head. That's why you must stop up to be friends. That's some friends that should not be your friend. And I keep saying this to some members. They will think they are just trying to be, they're just trying to be with you. But enjoying your life. There are people that should not be your friend. If I let you get this thing, there are people that should not be your reading mates, reading partner. There are people that should not be. Because once you guys are reading, they are dropping comments. Those things are landing on your mind. And before you know, see what is going to happen. Things that used to be sin for you, that used to be bad, will become normal. Not that things, I'm in the peak, but the things I get, you like, what? Let me come up in school now. Well, when you go into school officially, and you tell me, especially if you enter as a believer, you know, if I know when you get into school, that's something you people wear. You wonder, what are you wearing? But before you know, once you continue, before you, as at the 30, you know, a normal thing, you now see that, say, oh, what? She's hot. You know, when I was in first year, I saw one girl coming with gunshot. That was my first time. And I grew up in a village. That was my first time. And I bet I don't go to. The only place I went is in SU camp. Camp of faith, camp of joy. This girl by his domain. And this girl, she walked. It was a bunch. It was a bomber shot. It was more bomb than not bomb. And because she drew a tattoo around here, and she wanted people to see the tattoo. And so she just came, entered the class, and kept her leg in this way. And before I just said, lady, go to sharp, I came into the class. Immediately I came in. I said, Jesus Christ. I've never looked at me. So maybe people were even snapping. So they get snapping. Then I got myself, I found out, okay, man, I've created a scene. So I thought that left. I thought about it for this. I don't understand how somebody would lock the door, lock the window, and really dress up and come out naked. But you notice when you keep on people around, before you know it, gradually it becomes a normal thing. You get the point? At first it irritates you. That's why the people don't keep around. Influence, watch it, what you listen to. That's people normally ask me, what of secular music? What do you have against it? Well, I'm not against secular music. You know why? Because music has different purposes. You get the point? Like I normally say, you can't meet your wife by singing, Akamarama Kangakoro. You know, look at her, what's wrong with you? But you look at her, we make a miracle. also mean that you expose your ear to songs that have vulgar lyrics. That are songs you don't listen to. And that's the problem with Nigerian music, because every song is about who, is about everything wrong with two people. Every song is about backside, front that you are like. And the painful is that you see ladies playing those songs that are describing your body, you are dancing. But they are talking about you in such a derogatory manner. Are you enjoying it? You know, I heard one. I don't know who did that song. Say, I want your body in my bed tonight. And guests are shouting. What is exciting about it? Listen to me. And you might think, what's the point? It doesn't affect. It affects. And let me say this to you. You have to basically have program your mind. You might have seen it. Things settle in your mind, not your permission. Things not take permission for the sake of program. Don't worry, I'm settling now. Without your permission, I'm settling. It's not one day. You now surprise yourself. I can't imagine how I did that. You can imagine. You have been laying the foundation. And he has been getting an unholy desire instead of you. So he can get this from the influence level. Okay? You can also decide to get it at the thought of when it has entered your thought. You can. Paul teaches that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are love. In other words, that's you can decide what happens at your mind. At that point, when it's just a thought, you can call it off at that point. Don't fix your mind on those things. You know, actually, everything, you know, if you hear this proverb, is, you know, a bird, you may not stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from etching. You might not be able to stop them from flying into your mind, but you can stop them from staying. And that's by what you fix your mind and your imagination on. When those thoughts fly in, what you do with them? As you are cutting off the influence, notice some things have settled already. Don't stay on them. That's why some of you think something just happened around you. No, you know, sometimes being a young person, I notice being a young person, once in a while, all these desires just rise on your inside, other desire. And then, what do you do? Why would you sit down on your bed and you imagine it? Will you stand up from there? Don't do that. Say you don't know what to do. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, is a think on these things. Tell your mind, hey. You know, I used to tell you guys, you can instruct your mind on what to do. Who taught you? The psalmist, be still my soul. You can tell your heart how to behave at every point. So one of the things you do is you control your imagination. Temptation, notice at this point I'm not yet tempted. I'm telling you, you can forget it before it even starts. You learn something this evening. I learned something. You can stop it before it starts. So you can cut it, but when the thoughts are flowing, because you cannot control everything that enters your mind actually. So when the thoughts are come, it's there. Don't stay on it. Don't think over it. Don't imagine it. You know one of the greatest powers that God gave us is the power of imagination. Also, don't say that the devil to do anything about that. They are both all that we ask for things. Your imagination can create your life. That's why I tell you guys sometimes, when you sit in your room, imagine a good life. Are you getting me? Huh? Imagine a good life. Imagine you are driving a car. Amen. That's the way you can keep imagining. You notice before an architect builds the house, he has seen the thought, as he even makes the plan, he has seen the plan here. He's not just transferring what is here. Get the point? That same way, that's how life is. You can create your future in your mind. That's the way you can create it in your mind. So when the thought suddenly acts, it's just a thought. Don't stay on it. Bible tells us, he will give him imperfect peace whose heart stayed on. That one heart he gave him is his imagination. Whose imagination is stayed on God. Don't matter what you feel, your imagination is with. But you feel it. What do you feel? It's just a thought, but don't steal. Why will you stay there? Is that saying it's possible? Like when I'm going to catch you. It will make sense. You know, I thought you know, once you begin to do that, let me tell you what's happening. Yeah, this is possible with them. The You know, some of you think when the Bible says that Satan, and I've said it before, that Satan appeared to Eve and don't eat. Look at that tree. Did God say you should not eat? Some of you think it was a physical conversation. I've told you it's not, right? What was happening? In her mind, at first it was just, let me talk about that tree as a physical tree now. Okay? You get point? Let me show the hand it. And then the other said, look at that. Have you seen that tree? You know, at that point, when he said, did God say you should not eat? You don't converse with the devil. Don't do it. And when you do, everything was going on in Eve's imagination, in her mind. But that tree, you know, Bible said, last said, and she looked at the tree and saw that it had the capacity to make someone buy. It now can. What was happening? Everything was going on there. The devil will be making it so palatable and so harmless. Amen. I know. He just says, sir, we've been making it so palatable and harmless. Just visiting. It's a harmless visit. You have staying on it. It's a harmless visit. What is saying? Visiting a friend. Maybe not friend. Did he tell you he's going to sleep with you? In your mind, you knew that was, you know that's what he wants. He just said, just go. Don't let it stay. At that point, so you can truncate it from this point. Don't let it have to fill its box. In the chapter 4, we saw it in verse 6. You know something? What you focus your mind on, it that means whether the peace of God will flood your heart. Remember I said that last on Sunday? Look at Judas verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing. But in all things, Philippians 4, 6. But in all things, my prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, select your request in made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall fill your heart and mind. How did that happen? Verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure and lovely, is a thing on these things. So you can decide to do what to do with your mind. Remember, we saw that in the book of Proverbs, where the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart. So he's also that the NLT said, your thoughts determine the course of your life. So the direction of your life is programmed from your thoughts. So are you going to see next week? I can know from today. So how will you know? What is passing your mind? So nothing is easy. Nothing just happened. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Sin doesn't just happen. No matter how small the sin is. Even as small as jealousy, it doesn't just happen. Jealousy, the piling up of thoughts. How do you know it's true? Different things. The devil is suggesting things to you. And then you allow it. So you can truncate it at the thoughts level, but it's just it. So don't let it concede. So consciously fix your mind on the right thing. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Now let me say this to you. One of the ways to fight thoughts when they come is what? Go. Loud. Listen to this. When the thought is coming to your mind, at that point, you're just feeling like, man, I want to do it. You know that this is one of the mistakes you make is that fighting in your mind. What do you do? That just open your mouth and start talking. You are not saying, you say, what should I start saying? Start saying, open up what you feel. I'm a righteous man in Christ. I don't give in to such things. I don't want to tell people, I say, don't be a Christian, don't be masturbation and all that. I said, the next time such things come, stand up and start shouting. Say, well, I just stand up in your room. I say, whoo, I'm righteous in Christ. You know, was that the woman that was saying, it was fun. He said, somebody came and said he was working with, you know, smoking and all that. So he told the guy, the next time you smoke, it's very funny. He said, once you smoke, say, I'm the right person in Christ because. He said, you know, you said, yes, tell them to you. He said, the guy goes, I'm righteous in Christ. Ooh, smoke again. I'm holy, I'm sanctified, I'm ready. You cannot finish that thing. The guy said, he did it. He was speaking well. You get one, I can write it on the ground. He goes, you know, what's that mean? That's why one of the ways to fight the people that are coming is to start talking. Next time I said, I'm going to get to the next time you feel like that's a solution to come again. Just stand up from there. Start fighting the thoughts. How? Start saying, hey, I'm righteous in Christ. I'm sanctified. I'm redeemed in Him. You know when you are talking like this? Remember I said there are two gates to your mind. What are those gates? Your ears and your heart. act under your skin. Now, so when you start talking like that, what happens? Your ear is even hearing what you're saying. I don't get the point. So you can start talking. I don't give it to such things. No. I don't use such things. When thing is, when the thought is shouting, scream louder. Sometimes, okay. I don't give it. I'm a righteous man in Christ. Oh, I'm redeemed in Him. As much as you know, Reverend Peter will say, if the devil knocks on your door 10 times, resist him 11 times. Always have one more resistance than the devil. When he comes, just say, hey, I don't give it to such things. I don't give it to such things. Hallelujah. I will not call that sister. I will not call that guy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So I've noticed, that's why I'm going to show you something. Let me talk about prayer a little. What did Jesus tell Peter to do? In Matthew 26, 41. Open it. About the temptation. Look at what the Matthew 26, verse 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Listen, it says, watch and pray. That what? Come on, are you there? Are we there? See the code? It is not just a place to travel abroad. Get you to the code, man. You're in the States. Amen. In the United States. Glory to God. Are you there? So what did he say? He said, watch and pray. Why? Come on, that you what? Open your mouth. That you what? He said, why? He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but what? Don't you see, come to a time where your flesh is weak. What has ever come to the point where your flesh is really weak? What I mean is, where you really want to do it. Has ever happened to you? You really want to do it. I did not say you really want to pray in tongues. You really. You know your spirit man has, another time, all pastor's messages are playing in your head. Redeemed. Righteous. Don't give in to sin. But if that's the spirit willing. But the flesh has refused to have sense. It's always not having sense. Well, just telling yourself, I know who I am in Christ. I don't give in to sin. I'm just a passerby in this world. Your mind is, your flesh has started to be weak. Look at what he told Peter. What did he tell Peter? Watch and pray. What do you do? Start praying. And I like what he says. Sometimes when you start praying, at that point, it is like it's not working. What do you do? Keep praying. Notice something. You know, look at why prayer works. When you are praying, you are speaking words. Remember I said before, when you're praying, you're speaking words. And you know, notice something. Who has ever known that she should pray, but did not feel like praying? Has that happened to you? Notice that when you start doing it, 5 minutes, you are making noise. 10 minutes, as at the 15th, 20th minute, it's flowing. That's how to deal with it. At the point where you start doing lava lava, the devil will tell you, this thing is not working. You want to do this. Yeah, right. You want to be. And listen, and you're not praying to fight temptation. Just pray. Just pray. When you're praying, when you pray, not to the point, all trance will begin to flow. And I know the all trance will flow. I'm not a slave to sin. I cannot be doing this. That's your trance will flow. I'm right. You just don't stop. And notice something. When you pray, notice Peter was not yet tempted when Jesus told him to pray. That's why one of the ways to keep up temptation is to maintain a prayer attitude. When you pray a lot, you are conscious of the spiritual around you. Get the point? You are conscious of the spirit all around you. You will act it. So we know why Peter did not pray. But you know, let me tell you. We know why. I'm going to say this. We know why Peter fell for that temptation. Why? He didn't pray. We also know why Peter was not simply wait. Why? Jesus prayed for him. That's important. Are you getting the point? So it's not what I mean praying. I'm not talking about praying and saying, Father, deliver me. No, that's not a prayer. Just pray. Notice when Jesus told Peter, come, let's pray. At first, he didn't tell him why. You get the point? Just pray. He was second, he came and said, I forgot to pray. come for interpretation. Say your spirit is willing to resist this. But your flesh is weak. The guy did not pray. You know, somehow when you pray, you keep the flesh down. There are some mistakes that people make over time. And I normally call the person, I'll ask them, I say, how is your prayer life? I'll ask you, how is your prayer life? Why? I tell you the truth. Flies don't perch on hot spots. There are things that don't happen around people that pray. I'm not saying they will not be tempted. They have their will waiting it up. Amen. So he told him, pray. He said, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. So it's not just praying. So in my note, I said, prayer keeps you spiritually sensitive. To even know that you are giving heed to the wrong things. Get the point? Prayer helps you quiet the desires of your mind. It helps you know that, say, but that you are yielding to the wrong thing. So you just keep praying. And notice, whenever you start praying, I'll tell you a story. Funny one, when I was young, whenever you start praying, and the devil makes you feel like your prayer is useless, I tell you what, keep praying, the prayer is working. You get the point? When you start praying, then they say, okay, that's it, you want to do this thing. Just continue, don't stop. Just continue, don't stop. Just like a balada, da 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 da. I have yet to see. You know, sometimes you go over doing, not, you know, those days I used to teach, you know, I used to do deliverance and all that. One of those days, I was praying for a girl, and I started there for that. You know what that meant? I said, pray in tongues. They go, Barah, the Sheikh, Allah. I know those days, though, I was really young, and we were sitting in our tongues. So the girl just looked at me and just said, that fucking nonsense. No, I was just saying, just saying, just laugh. Fucking rubbish. You know, when a demon looks at your tongue, fuzzy rubbish. But thank God for wisdom, wisdom of the Spirit. You know what I did? I looked at her and I said, I don't know where the problem came from. I just did that and I smiled and I continued. I prayed for the next 3 to 5 minutes. You know, those the dramatic years we had. Just the shouting. Stop, stop. I said, come out of her. And then I'll be done. But if I just sat down there, saying, she says it's rubbish. I'm not saying, Father, if my tongue's rubbish. That's, forget that they have all these things. That's what goes on in your mind. When you really want to do it, and hear, pastor say, you should not think about this thing, I'm not going to think about it. Pastor say, you should pray to, okay, Shagabarata, forget that thing. You really want to do it. Especially for guys, when it comes to sexual sin, sometimes when you are praying, you know, your body is not responding to those things. Your prayer is going this way, your election is going that way. You are just thinking of what to do. Hallelujah. What do you do? Continue praying, my brother. The Lord will deliver him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him from them all. From them all, my brother, he will deliver you. Amen. But what am I saying? We don't give into such things. But sometimes every time you come here, an exam is approaching, and you know, pastor has said, if you write by ourselves, we don't do networking in the hall. I get the point. The hall is not a place for networking. I get the point. You already know. But then you have looked at this course handout. You know that it is not entering. You look again, it's not entering. You now begin to imagine. What is wrong? I will not carry notes into the hall. I will not even copy. I will not even ask. I will just be looking. And the devils are asking you questions. So you're just going to sit down there and pray. God has a work solving our problems. The Bible said that Jacob looked at his son and said, your men shall not be few. The Lord will not give few men around you. He will keep many men around you. They will tell you what to do about the thing of this. Treasure supply of answers. You know, at that point, what do you do? You know that your will is getting conquered at that point, whether you like it or not. I get to tell you what to do. Start talking. Stand up. Start praying. Leke bo shatela. If possible, be reading your book and be praying. Leke. You know to enter. Do you know that I've been in the hall one day? Not this studio. And you know, when network ceased, nothing was flowing. And there was a temptation there. You know, sometimes I've ever been in the hall and somebody looks at you and looks at your note, who can see another writing. I say, brother, come. I don't know what happened to you. I say, brother, come. At that point, guess what I did? I said, I just smiled. I just bent down my head. They didn't know. I just prayed for it. It didn't make me remember much things because, you know, I just wrote down what I already knew. But it kept me saying. And it misbehaved. And after that, I passed my book. When I prayed for some time, this book was, pass this book. This is necessary, right? Let me tell you something. These things are real. Get the point. They are real. But if notice something, what in the devil thought is to trivialize sin to you. What is there? It's not just to ask. Notice something. When sin finishes its course, sin has an end point. You know why I told you that? Sin has a test. It has somewhere it's going to. You think it's just, that's why you start copying it. Like you copy today, copy tomorrow. Next week, you're no longer preaching your class. That's where it's going to. It's not about the same. I don't get the point. It's not about the same. You copy today, copy tomorrow. Next time you come, want to preach, they say, all this pastor in this class, eh? When they ask question for her, when I wear down, no, pastor. Once they call you pastor, you'll see if you finish. Pastor. Alpha. Guy, man, pastor. That's the destination. So let us a way of making sin look normal. What is it? Not just to be edited. Not just to copy. Not take copy. It's not a big deal. I'm just copying. When such thoughts begin to fly, begin to pop. No, I'm not copying. If I somehow, I know I will not fail. God gives me good success. Just keep talking. Just keep talking. As you're reading in your room, as the thoughts come, shout. Keep reading in your room. Be praying. Be reading in your room. Say, don't let those things settle. When you don't read that, you lie down to sleep. Just keep saying, oh, I will not copy the example. Oh, I write on my phone and I pass well. You know, I'm trying to make you see sin at this. No matter how small the devil makes it look, it's the game of the devil. He trivializes sin. Just ask. Even the Bible says, you should ask, and it shall be given unto you. Don't just ask. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he wants, you know something, I'm very much against our practice. Some of you know that. Do you know why? Because it's a terrible sin. And that's what people trivialize the most in church. I've become head of a church. I'm not joking. I still testify that I didn't know what to write. And somehow God brought somebody around me. They're clapping. As if I was a pastor, I would throw you out of the church. You know, and look at the progress of my practice. It's a very terrible thing. Don't know how terrible it is. Communication is bad. But you know when to lock up the room and finish with David and come out. At that point, only two people know, both of them. You get the point? And the devil is still a sin. You get the point? It's still a sin. But you know when they turn away from that and repent of it, what that person knows about? You get the point? Or maybe they want to tell their pastor, which I the point that you do sometimes, you can account them. You get the point? But you know what's the case of my practice? When you sit down with the whole and copy and ask, and there's change material, when you are done and you're even receive Jesus into your life and giving him your life at the same time, when you are done, you cannot tell the whole class that you have changed. You still come out to preach, they will say, Pastor. That's why that's received. You know, notice we saw that in verse 3. He said, mind how you live among the unbelieving neighbors. I don't get a point. There are things wrong. Hallelujah. And break it down. And good thing is you will not do it and you will not see faith. Amen. So I said, don't get it at the court level. When it's still a thought. When it's still a thought, you call it up. You call it up at that point. Don't let the desire conceive. But then, when you are committed to sin, you can still, your own has not finished. That's what I'm saying. Maybe you are here and say, ah, that's correct. They're just telling my story today. That's how I felt. but you can still call it off at that point. You know something, eh? You can still call it off at that point. Jesus kept calling Peter's attention to the point that you feel you are being tempted, you're going to be tempted. Peter kept calling Peter. First time he told him, then Peter, you will betray me before the call closing time. You know, that was not what Jesus wanted. We'll tell you what will happen. Peter now said, dear, never you will ever deny you want to be Peter like me. I will. Jesus said the second time, Peter, Satan has planned to seek you like wheat, but I prayed for you. Peter didn't get the cheat. Totally, Jesus said, watch and pray. Let's complete the mission. Three times. Peter didn't get it. So what happened? Peter fell for the temptation. But good thing about Peter, he didn't allow the temptation to be seen, finish his course. And if that's where you are today, you can still cut it off from this point. Don't let it produce more and more sin. What I'm saying, the fact that you guys have started moving out does not mean you cannot stop it. The fact that you have started cheating in the hall and all that doesn't mean it's now you. You can cut it off from this point. I get the point. You can't. Nobody said that when you do it once, you keep doing it forever. Nobody said that. But that's the lie the devil sells to you. So you've done it. That's it. You cannot stop it. That's a lie. And I'm one of those that I'll keep telling you that is a lie. And one of the ways to call it off from this point is to deal with guilt in your heart. That's your feeling now. Call it off. That guilt. Jesus has paid for those sins. He has forgiven your sins. That's the first. You have to call it off at this point. What made Judas kill himself? You want to know? Guilt. That's it. Get it. Look it. Say you betray the master. Notice people think that the solution to sin is restitution. But that's not it. How many people do that in restitution? You know that? He returned the money. Yet the guilt was still there. I cannot say this to you. He restituted the guilt was still there. The way out of sin is over explained. When you have made the mistake, deal with the guilt. How? Expose yourself. What has happened in Christ? What has just done to my sin? Yeah, and even this thought that actually when you sin, God will forgive you, but you still face the consequences. Anytime somebody is pushing the gospel and ask God, it has been corrupted. There's no but in the gospel. Just wait for your sins, period. He has been for all your sins. You are not facing any current of this earth. But don't you think that the reason why Paul suffered persecution was because, have you heard that teaching? But because he presented the church of Christ. So God has showed him, I will show you pepper. And I asked the person, I said, was Peter persecuted? He said, yes. What did Peter do? Was John persecuted? Because in the thought of John. How many of you know that John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, he was thrown into the hot oil? How many of you know that? A boiling pot of oil is in his side. That's not funny. Amen. The guy still came out. If they left him for dead, the island of Patmos, but he was dead. He woke up with visions.
Hallelujah.
What I'm saying is, God does not, there's no way He forgives you, He forgives you. He doesn't say, because of this you've done, I'm going to show you. Better, I'll show you. Let me ask you, but you know there's a way God forgives. He forgives and treats you like another sin again. He forgives you, and you know, when he heals your wound, He wipes the scars. Nobody even knows you ever had a wound. That's God. So don't ever think he's dead. You know, who was Solomon's mom? Who knows? But Sheba, it is David, was just wondering, he was tempted. I'm not sure that you can call it up. He was in his house. Bible said it was time when he used to go for war. But God did not go for war. He stayed back. Announced him. You know, provide them with in temptation. So one of the ways to stop them is to not be idle and lazy doing nothing. But I can tell you that was not the first time. I don't think that's the first time that Bathsheba's bedroom was located in that place. Maybe not to let be there. But that very day, that idle man now saw. And look at the sin David committed was not, it didn't just happen. He planned the sin. Get up on. You want it, you know, they caught the girl, the lady, and whether it was rape or it was whatever, you better say they did something, amen. And then they gave the little took it. Now, look at David. David said, brought Uriah back, said, come on, do something with your girl, but she can take it. Uriah, the priest, the whole story, and David arranged and got Uriah killed. Uriah died. You know, and he's better than all that. It was still from that woman, but gave me the success. I don't get a point. From that woman. You know, God to say, this union, you give somebody's husband, this union, bet me to be well with you. This is what God do. He's still David. So when God forgives you, he wipes the whole scar. I don't get a point. And that's why if you are here, even if you are here, I talk to people every day. Even if you are, I am not supporting anything bad, but even if you are here, you have made a mistake. You had an abortion, and in the process, your womb was damaged. When God forgives, as he has forgiven you, he still has the capacity. If you ask him, he will pray with a brand new womb. Nobody will know you ever did anything. That's God. That's our God. Yes, sir. I not say God is too good. That's what I'm saying. He's good. So you have to first accept his forgiveness. Accept it. And then pick up from there and start walking. They don't think it's over. It's not over. It has not even started. At the point when you would have said Peter, it was over for Peter. His ministry has not even started. It's not amazing, you know. I preached everything some time ago. Maybe we'll do that program here one day. The God that loves the bad boys. I tagged it, Jesus and the bad boys. Jesus and the bad boys. That is God, the same guy that betrayed him, but I denied him. Not if Jesus was crucified. Peter denied Jesus on Friday. Amen. Friday, the guy wrote about this again on Sunday. Now, 40 days later, Jesus ascended. 50 days after that, that's 10 days after his ascension, the painting was king. That same guy that denied him like 50 something days ago preached the first message. 3,000 guys got saved. That same guy, as after 3, healed a creep and believed it. What I'm saying, don't think it has finished, it has not started. Where the beat is get the point. Not started. I was the beat at all. Not the devil telling you nobody's over. I see. You see, well, they said once you did, your anointing will vanish. That's not started. You can pick up from them. But that's some of you who are burning for God. But then one mistake. And I say, that was it. Time later, I did it. I just felt power left me. Nothing left me. Nothing left you, and if anything left you, I put it back into you. Nothing at all left you. So it's not a supporting sin thing. But notice something, you know, Pastor Prince was first on the head and said this. He said, what when people sin and they allow guilt to come back, somehow they think that when they feel very guilty and now make promises, they will never do it again. Well, that's that way. You find that once you keep feeling very guilty, you are laying the foundation for the next thing. It's called the cycle of defeat. Thought, temptation, sin, guilt, condemnation, you get back the way it started. So you can forget it if it's now advanced when sin has finished its course. I will not let that happen. I will not let things take over me. You don't do that. And so instead of being Judas, I'll go and hang yourself, be Peter. And look at how Jesus extends forgiveness. When he goes from the tent, he saw Mary Magdalene. He said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. Minister to be a lot. He dead. But you know when he just rose from the dead? Imagine you deny somebody on Friday and person died. And on Sunday, the person has risen. I said, it's only you. There are one person that I don't want to go. You get the point? I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, he has risen. Hey. How will I face him? He said, tell my disciples and Peter. Talking about the disciples, he was. What did he do it out? Because he knew he's the one person that would not want to come. Listen, I'm telling the person, tell Peter Patrick. So after he told the disciples, he just wants to see you guys. And hey, Peter, he said you must come. And you will never see him tell Peter. He tell Peter. Just because you saw I was going to die. You know, the night, I've woken up. You face the music. So I won't say much. He restored him. You know, Jesus has a word for you. You know, maybe he said, if you doubt, God will leave you. Thomas doubted. He said, if he beat your plan and say, put your hand. He can adjust anyhow to meet you. That's all. So when he said, I made a mistake and that was over and went wrong. You made a mistake. He still came for you. Good thing is that he died when we are yet sinners. He died. He don't. He didn't say, change your ways, I will now die for you. If you don't change, he died when we were sinners. So if you have gone back to sin, you're already in a cycle of sin repeatedly because you think it's over. It has not even started for you. It has not started. You are still starting. When I say that there's still hope for you, it now looks like you even lost hope in the first place. You never lost the hope. There's always been hope for you. There's still a great future. Your mistake does not cancel your purpose. It doesn't. So it's not actually about sin, it's about what you do after the sin. Don't let it finish his course. Pick up yourself. Then picking up yourself, not to go back to that sin. Start. You need to do what I say from the outset. Start killing the process. Oh, now what am I going to do? While I know God has forgiven me, so I'm going to cut off this process. I'm going to conquer this process. Number one, what are the events around my life? What are those ways to live? Oh, yeah, you have to go, you know. And I begin to deal with it. Don't ever think it's over. Don't let him finish his course. Then you made a mistake. Bad enough you did. But he never left. So let him left. And listen to me. So don't let him. What I'm saying is, at whatever, all I've done today, at whatever stage, we saw a cycle. At whatever stage you are in the cycle, you can stop from that point. And reverse the whole thing. If it's still at influence level, cut off the influence. If it's a thought, deal with the thought. If it has taken over you and you have sinned, don't let it finish you. Call it up. I mean, give me a big over the question. Call it up. I can't take it. Then I can tell you many people that made mistakes. You know something about God and his ways. Some of those tend to think you are prepared for anything. It shows up in an amazing way. Have you seen that experience? I'm telling you. Sometimes when you think, see this program, we're going to prepare. Not die. When you are done, you get to that meeting, you're not even satisfied. Whatever happens to you. Some of the meetings where you just think that I'm not even a prayer person today. Just shows up in a transfer. The other tells you nothing, it has never been about you. You get the point? Those mistakes must stand. So in case you have slowed down in life, you think because this is that, you can stand up and start running from now. Take off again. Take off again. He says, at my own level, it's not sin. I'm past sin. My own level, sin has finished its course in my life. You can say that again. We name Mark. You know, I've told you this story. You know John Mark, right? Paul and Barnabas, pick your mark. Pick your mark. On the commission. And later, you remember the quarrel because of your mark, remember? Because your mark. Paul said, I can't go with this. You know why? I'm saying your mark left them. At the point. Have you seen with it, Paul? Have you? I said it before. Your mark left them at the point. And Paul said, no, the second, I'll go with us again. And then Barnabas with your mark and all that. Bob said, but your mark left them. Because you get the point, they got into mission. And your mark saw problems, saw matter and sky. What can I say? So when since you are now normal, he came back and said, Paul, I'm still here. I'm available. Use me. Paul said, no, this is why I cannot go with us. But if you now read the book later in Paul's letters, Paul now talks about your man. He said, bring back, for he is profitable unto me. The guy that once ran away was not a profitable person. But when I say God is not done with you yet, it's not look like I'm saying there's a problem. He has not even started with you at all. He doesn't start. But you still go, you still fight. So don't let this thing stop you. I start up from now. Don't get this process from now. That is this finishing spot. And maybe at this place, your own, you think it's now an addiction. Okay, number one, you're not addicted. That's not getting the process. Now, God of the influence if you're addicted. God of those things. And then from there, allow. Let them be your thoughts. And next time you find yourself watching that porn again, and you come to yourself, open your mouth and say, I'm not a slave to sin. Nothing can control me. Nothing has hold of my will. Just watch it. I didn't say your mind. That's saying it. Papa, they are watching it. Don't say it. Oh, I'm victorious. It will lose taste. It will lose its taste. Then when you close the system and start pissing all over the room, don't stop. Don't stop. Something has taken over your mind. Don't stop. Be pissing all over the room. But I'm victorious in Christ. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm not a slave to sin. This thing cannot control me anymore. I can't keep watching. Just watch it. Before you know, you post into tongues. The next 3 hours is gone. Hallelujah. You believe in it. The victory is inside. What's it done? Yeah. What is it done? I don't know how much shall take hold. And whatever point you have today, you can forget this process. I say it will not stay. We are not them that give into temptation. Oh, when the tempter comes. If he comes tempter, we resist him 11 times.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.